Welcome into the very first 2025-26 episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show on 104.3 The Fan HD3 from the Front Range Toyota Store Studios. It is good to be back. My name is Tyler Maughan. It is nearing the middle of August, fall sports season getting underway. Hard to believe, but thrilled to be joined on this week's episode of the DU Coaches Show by Julianne Sitch, the head coach of Denver Women's Soccer. Sitch, it's good to see you. And, you know, at least for a lot of us, it's hard to believe that we're already in match week for you, but for you and your team, I'm sure ready to roll after the last few weeks getting ready for the season.
Yes. Hey, Tyler, thanks for having me on. And yeah, absolutely. It's kind of crazy to think about how fast the summer went, and we're all back here and getting after it. And like you said, game week already, have two exhibitions underneath our belt. So good experience there and just ready to get the season started.
Well, you are already a few weeks into getting ready for this season. Got started with training in late July, had some time in the mountains with the team. What have the last few weeks been like getting ready for this group?
Yeah, it's been really good. You know, as always, really like to lay a foundation of just like our mentality and kind of like our DNA of who we're going to be and what we want to be known for. So do a lot of that right in the beginning, and then kind of starting to get after different tactics and style of a play of, you know, what we can see this team achieving this year. So, you know, it's kind of starting, especially with a younger group this year. You know, we graduated a lot of experienced quality players in the past year. And so being able to bring in a new class underneath that and just continue to get everyone on the same page. And every day you see that, every day you can continue to see them grow and click together. And that's something that, you know, over time, I believe is going to be really great to see when we start getting into, you know, September and October in our season.
You've got so many new faces, as you noted, on this team. And for the few weeks that you have in the immediate run up to a season, getting to do some team building things and kind of learning about, you know, how everyone's going to fit into the culture and all of that. How has that been so far? And what's that process been like for you?
Yes, it's been really great. You know, this year everyone was on campus for captain's practice, and I thought that was really incredible. And, you know, our captains really, you know, took ownership of that, of, you know, wanting everyone to be there, and everyone was. And I think that's huge. You know, it gives an opportunity for every player, not just new players or players that have, you know, been on the roster for 2-3 years, maybe going into their fourth year, just gives everyone an opportunity to come in, get settled, get to know each other before, you know, you kind of hit the ground and the coaches are there. And now the expectations and the games and all these different pieces are there. And it just gives everyone an opportunity to get to know each other and start to work well together, especially the first years, get to know campus. They get to get around campus before. I mean, we're fortunate with being on the quarter system. They don't have to worry about school right away. But again, just being able to kind of lay that foundation. And then when we had started, the team has always in the previous years gone to Vail for preseason trip. So we stayed with that. We did that again this year, and that was extremely fun. Three different houses for the players. And it's just as important for the staff to have those moments. You know, we have a new assistant coach on board with Tom Poole, who we are really excited about. And so to be able to have like even just a staff house and us get to know each other and go for walks together and have coffee together and just, you know, chat and bond in that way as well. Like, it's a really good opportunity for everyone to continue to build on those relationships. And then we have an inner squad, and then we have like a big team barbecue at one of the family's houses in Vail. They're very gracious to host us, and it's just a really great time. And this year we had the opportunity to go kayaking, little whitewater kayaking down a river, which was so much fun, and everyone just had a blast with that. And so again, you talk about those team bonding moments and having that. And this past weekend we had the team over at our house. My wife and I hosted them all, and again, just playing cards, hanging out, sitting outside, playing with the dog. It's just like everything is, you know, it creates that like family atmosphere of just, you know, getting to build those relationships and bond with one another. And as we always talk about, like, you continue to build those relationships off the field. That's what carries to being on the field and wanting to fight and play for one another.
Especially for a group that has a lot of newcomers. I mean, those are the crucial things in how you get a season started. And you were able to get it started on the pitch with a couple of exhibition matches to kick off this 2025 season. And, you know, you basically jump right in. You come out of the, you know, kind of the team building and you know, getting to know each other weeks, straight into doing competitive stuff. And to have a couple of those where you were able to rotate pretty much everybody on the roster with a handful of exceptions through getting minutes on the field. What did you like against Texas Tech and against Northern Colorado?
Yeah, you know, Texas Tech, I think we gained a lot of experience. They're a quality opponent. I love playing them right off the bat. And so it's just a quality opponent. And for us to see like that level for us, like we want to win conference, we want to be in the NCAA tournament. And these are some of the teams that we could face. And so, you know, I thought Texas Tech, unfortunate, you know, to lose that game 4-0 in that way. But I would say that with that, I thought we gained a lot of experience and continued to like grow as a team. And even being down 4-0, like 20 seconds left on the clock, we're still trying to find a way to score a goal. And I think that's something that's really special and the compliment from Texas Tech that like we never gave up. And I think that's huge. And you know, we're going to need that continuing throughout season, right? Because you're not every game is going to go the way that you want it to, or the score is not going to always reflect a potential of the way that the game was played. But to know that we are continuing to work hard and be out there and trying to score goals, like being down 4-0 when a goal and 20 seconds left doesn't matter. Like that to me is character. That to me is that culture that we want to continue to build of who we are. And, you know, with Northern Colorado, I think we found out that we need to find ways to be more dangerous in the attack. We just weren't dangerous enough. You know, I don't think we created enough opportunities to score good, to score goals, let alone good goals, but just we didn't create enough opportunities and we weren't dangerous enough. And that's something that we can take away. So I think in both games, we learned, gained experience, gained unity and stuff of being a team. And then I think against Northern Colorado, we learned that we need to find ways to be more dangerous in the attack.
You got a couple of players out there who got really good minutes after missing last season with injuries in Grace Dreiling and Rowan Lapiano. That's such an asset to be able to have the opportunity to go out and play in an exhibition circumstance, get your legs back under you, remember what the flow of competition feels like to get players back in those roles. How important is that?
Yeah, it's super important, you know, and this year, like we, as always, you need everyone to win, right? And you need everyone to continue to be a part of the team and play different roles and have that. And I thought, you know, Grace wasn't available for us on Thursday, but Grace was available for us on Sunday. And, you know, she stepped in and her minutes got cut a little bit short just due to the lightning that we had. And then, you know, both teams decided to make that decision of not playing the last 7 minutes of the game as we both came away healthy from an exhibition game. And so, you know, some of those minutes were cut short for her, but she came in, you know, she was holding up the ball. She was, you know, you can start to see her continue to grow in that way. So really excited to have that piece back, and Rowan as well. You know, Rowan now playing in her second collegiate game after coming off ACL, and it's been huge. You know, she had an unbelievable goal line clearance yesterday in the game to keep the game 0-0. And, you know, it's exciting to see her continue to play and find her way as well. She's extremely composed on the ball. She's very technical. She has really great vision. And so, you know, I think them along with other players are going to have huge roles this year.
For year three for you, I remember we talked about this last year. Year one, you jump in, you're kind of like drinking out of a fire hose. Year two, you're familiar with everything that you want to do as far as a head coach and the structure and all the rest. Year three, is it, do you sort of just like breathe the sigh of normalcy of like, all right, I'm not, it's not overwhelming in the way that I would imagine season one was. And even season two, when you're fully in control of everything for the first time, it's still relatively new. How comfortable are you now being at this stage in season three?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think each year brought on different learning experiences, right? And every year that I've had coaching, no year is the same. Every year is different, or I have to adapt, or I've got to find new ways. And, you know, so I just think that every year you have to continue to learn and grow with that. So yes, I would say I feel a lot more comfortable with the group in terms of like, I know them a little bit more. I think they know me a little bit more in that way. But yeah, I still think like it's, you're getting after it and you're just kind of, you know, it's still a little bit crazy with that. But I would say in terms of, I've learned a lot from every year. I think I'm continuing to learn and grow as a coach. And, you know, I hope that I'm trying to find new ways to help this team be successful. And, you know, I hope that I'm, you know, that I will always continue to grow. I think that's the number one thing. I mean, one of our values is growth mindset. And it's like, if I'm asking the kids to be coachable and grow, you know, I have to make sure that I'm checking myself and I'm also still learning and growing and adapting as a coach.
Well, a lot coming up to get that started on the field with a season opener coming up on Thursday, August 14th. We're going to preview that when we return as we kick off the 2025 fall sports calendar with the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show from Front Range Toyota Store Studios. More with Pioneers head women's soccer coach Julianne Sitch after the break on 104.3 The Fan HD3. Continuing along on 104.3 The Fan HD3, DenverPioneers.com. It's the Pioneers Coaches Show from the Front Range Toyota Store Studios. So excited to be joined this week by Pioneers head women's soccer coach Julianne Sitch. My name is Tyler Mon. Sitch, it's match week, and not just match week, but it is two match week. You kick things off coming up on Thursday on the road at Air Force, come back home, and then head back to Colorado Springs on Sunday to take on Colorado College. And the first portion of this slate, so important, you know, with newcomers on the roster, 10 of them this season, 16 returners, getting things started against non-conference opponents, so important, and what it dictates for the tone for the season. But being able to do it in state is really helpful. And you don't have technically a home match until later in August, on August 28th, but you don't have to leave the state until your first match against Baylor at the Rumble in the Rockies in Missoula, Montana, a week from Thursday. So a little bit more sense of normalcy, getting to stay in state, but how excited are you to get rolling against Air Force on Thursday?
Yeah, extremely excited. You know, and I think you kind of just talked about it. Like, we have two big games and we are not leaving the state. And I think that's one thing that's really cool about Colorado is we have a lot of competitive Division I programs. And so that's pretty unique. You know, we get to play four or five different D1 programs. I think we play all the D1 programs here in Colorado this fall. And so, yeah, you have like a good fun rivalry with that. But like also at the same time, like I said, like how fortunate are we that we have, you know, highly competitive teams like right in our backyard to play. So we're extremely excited and excited to head out to Air Force. It'll be our second time playing there in my time here. And, you know, I know the coach really well. We actually played together quite a few years back, and she's done phenomenal there. She's done a really great job of, you know, continuing to grow that program, and it's going to be a good competitive game, and just excited to have that opportunity, as we always say, kick someone else other than ourselves.
You're going to play basically every program in the state. You played Northern Colorado in the exhibition match, but you get Air Force, CC, Colorado, CSU. And this is such an exciting time for women's soccer in Colorado right now, with Denver Summit FC getting started next year. What's it like, I mean, for your athletes being on the precipice of, you know, professional careers and all the things that come along after this stage? It's cool being in Denver right now and being involved in this sports community and knowing what is ahead for women's soccer.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. You know, I think for myself, like seeing it and having this, like them being able to see that there is an opportunity to play professionally, like in this state, for some of them, their home state, other ones, like they've come to school here and they, you know, they have the opportunity to potentially stay here and pursue their dreams. It's absolutely phenomenal. I just think back as like being a young girl myself, and I didn't always have those opportunities to look up to, you know, and so I didn't have that piece, like, oh my gosh, I can play professionally in Chicago while I was in college. There wasn't that. And so I think for this generation and for these young ladies, like, what an incredible opportunity. And not only that, but just to see the support around it, you know, like season tickets sold out in like however many hours, t-shirts sold out in like 30 minutes. Like, you know, it's like, you really want to support Denver Summit, and you know, the opportunity is there, but it's like, it's crazy to also see just like how many people are supporting them. You know, I've gone to some of the fan options. I went to the day that they announced it, and it's like so cool to see all of the people there supporting women's sports and women's soccer specifically. And so, you know, it's, I just look at that for them and I'm like, this is amazing that they have those opportunities and that they're right here in front of them to go after and, you know, dream and go achieve.
That's so cool. And it's such a fun time to be in this sports landscape. And for your team, you know, you get to go into this season building off of a really strong 2024. And as we noted, you've got 16 returners and 10 newcomers. Samantha Dryling, Hannah Tate, Audrey Miller, your captains for this season. You've got three starters from the end of last year, and Molly Wisman and Emma Thielbar and Hannah Tate. Give us some of the, you know, the names that Pioneers fans know that you're excited about for 2025. And also from these newcomers who are Pioneers fans going to get to know over, especially these first few weeks.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, we have unbelievable players that are returners, and you know, our leadership class in general, the senior class, the junior senior class, are really great leaders. And you know, we have an unbelievable captain group. You know, Sam, Audrey, and Tate are, you know, just one, incredible human beings, and two, like, just really well respected within the program and really want great things for this program. And they lead by, you know, example, and they want to go out there and they fight and they leave everything that they have on the field. And so, you know, they're going to continue to evolve this year and, you know, be a huge, huge part of that and be a huge part of leading this program. And as you know, you mentioned, like, building off something strong from 2024, like, yeah, we had a great season, but we all know that we fell short in that conference tournament. And that is something that, you know, we are working on and building that process towards. And you know, everything that we do every single day is building towards, you know, playing in non-conference play, then getting into conference, and then that postseason. And we just have to take each step at a time, you know, and there's building blocks within that. You can't skip a step, right? Like, it's not a straight, even line to get to success, as many of us know. And there's a lot of, like, potentially two steps forward, one step back. And I think it's for us, like, we have to embrace every step, embrace every journey of this, because it is a process throughout. And we have really good pieces. And I think something that, for people to be excited for and look for is just, like, the effort that's going to be put in on the team. And you know, just like their cohesiveness, you can start to see that gel over and over on the field. And that's something to just continue to watch and to look for as our season continues to go on, and just the leadership that will be brought.
One of the things last year that you knock off South Dakota State for the first time in program history on the road. South Dakota State, obviously, they get the win in the conference tournament. But a thing that felt like it was a big factor last year, and maybe even more so this year, is the strength of your non-conference schedule is so impressive. And I think half of the non-conference schedule this year is against Power Four schools. You'll see Texas A&M again. You beat Texas A&M in College Station last year, first ever program win over an SEC team. How much does the non-conference portion help you in the fact that you're not slacking and taking, matchups against programs that you know you can beat? You're going to challenge yourselves against a difficult non-conference slate.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, as I said, like, when I mentioned about playing against Texas Tech, like, we want to be there as a program. And, you know, we need to be prepared for going into the NCAA tournament. And I want us to be challenged. I believe, like, we are going to be challenged, and I want them to believe that we can hang with these schools. And, you know, I've always, we talk about, like, the Denver arch and the pride that we have in that. And, you know, like, I think it's great to go out and to be challenged and to play top quality teams. That's not saying that teams that, you know, aren't in the Power Four aren't challenging teams for us to go and play. They very much are. You know, it's just building that strength of schedule and continuing to put us in situations where we can challenge ourselves and grow and find areas to be better in. You know, I think that's why we play the game in general, right? And so just overall, just looking for opportunities for us to just continue to push and strive and elevate our game and elevate our program.
One thing I want to touch on before we get out of here, you're doing a goal-a-thon this year in which supporters of Pioneer Soccer can donate a certain amount of money for every goal that you scored this season. And not just going to support, what you're doing on the field, but off the field as well. Last year, you finished with a cumulative team GPA of 3.85, which was third highest in the country and tied for the highest for any D1 team. So for fans to be able to get around and support this program, the goal-a-thon obviously is a very cool thing.
Yes, it's absolutely a very cool thing. And I believe Cass, our assistant, has done a really great job with that. And she is the main point person in all of that. And our players have done a great job with getting people to help support that. You know, and you just look at that, and we've, I think, doubled, if not tripled, the amount of just support that we've had from the first year to this year and that. And so we're just, you know, looking forward to that and continuing to grow that and hopefully evolve and build some different ideas out of the goal-a-thon in terms of how people can continue to support our program, but not only our program, but our community as well. So we're just continuing to find some different layers to that as well. But Cass has done a really great job with taking ownership of that and, you know, evolving it within our program.
All right, Sitch, final point for you. You've got four matches between now and between when we see you at home coming up later on this month against Texas A&M on August 28th. So you'll see Air Force and Colorado College this weekend, as noted, and then two really good matchups next week in Missoula, Montana, against Baylor and Seattle at some neutral site meetings. Between now and August 28th and then again on August 31st when you see Southern Utah at home, what do you want to see from your program and what can Pioneers fans expect to see, you know, four matches into the season when they finally get a chance to see you at home on August 28th?
Yeah, I think for us, just continuing to find the pieces of where we can gel and continue to be cohesive, both on and off the field, you know, solidifying a style, not a style play, solidifying a formation potentially, or two formations, three formations that we feel really comfortable in, that we feel like we can find success in, and just continuing to build that confidence. Like I said, needing to be better in the attacking third. I think our defensive piece is good. Obviously we can continue to like hone that in, but I think like the effort is there defensively. It's just continuing to fine tune a few pieces within that as a unit. And then, like I said, just, you know, continuing to be more dangerous in the attack. So I hope to see us continue to evolve out of the formations that we're going to play, and having a little bit more of that presence and attacking threat within the next four games. So those are things that we're really going to focus on as a program, and how we can continue to strengthen that and be better there.
Well, it is all coming up later this week. The Pioneers will take on the Air Force Falcons 6 o'clock on Thursday night at the Air Force Academy. Then Sunday at 1 o'clock in Colorado Springs, taking on Colorado College, up to Montana for two games, August 21st and 24th. And then back home on August 28th, a 4 p.m. start time for the Pioneers and the Texas A&M Aggies at University of Denver Soccer Stadium. If you can't make that one on Thursday afternoon, then Sunday is your day at noon against Southern Utah, back at University of Denver Soccer Stadium. Julianne Sitch, the head coach of the Pioneers. So great to talk to you as always, and good luck this weekend in Colorado Springs.
Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Wrapping up this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show from the Front Range Toyota Store Studios. We'll talk to you next time.